And what does she say? Bring me on a platter the head of John the Baptist. Where are you rushing to, you hopeless and miserable soul? Is the one who accuses you present? Is he within sight and causing you distress? Others have said, it's painful for us even to look at him. But for her, it was intolerable even to hear about him. This is why she demands, bring me the head of John on a platter. Even though she has reduced him to a prisoner and covered him with chains, and yet she herself indulges in her love, declaring, I have so completely dominated the king that despite the public shame, he has neither withdrawn nor broken his adulterous relationship with me, but has instead put the one who shamed him in chains. Why are you driven to rage and frenzy, when even after his sin was pointed out, you continue to keep your lover? Why are you preparing a table drenched in fury, laying out a feast for vengeful demons? Do you see how worthless and cowardly vice is, how when it seems to be successful it becomes weaker? For this woman wasn't as disturbed before she threw John into prison as she is now that he's locked up. She insists, bring me John's head on a platter. And why is that? I fear, she explains, lest his murder be concealed or someone might rescue him from his danger. So why is it that you ask only for his head, not his whole body? I want to see silent the tongue, she says, that caused me such pain. But the opposite will happen. Wretched and miserable soul, it will shout even louder once it has been cut out. For then it only cried out in Judea, but now it will reach the ends of the world. No matter where you go into a church, whether among the Moors, Persians, or even all the way to the British Isles, you will hear John shouting, it's not lawful for you to be with your brother Philip's wife. But she, failing to reason in any such way, advances and pushes, goading the mindless tyrant towards the murder for fear he might change his mind. Now learn again from this the power of virtue. She can't stand the righteous man even when he's locked up, bound and silent. Do you see how feeble and filthy vice is? In place of food, it brings a human head onto a meal plate. What could be more defiled, more cursed, more indecent than that young woman? The horrible words she spoke in that deviant theater, in that demonic feast. See the difference between the two tongues. One brings healing remedies, the other brings poison, and becomes an overseer of a demonic feast. But why didn't she command him to be killed at the feast, where her pleasure would have been even greater? She was afraid that if he was brought and seen there, his gaze and audacity could sway them all. So she demands his head to set up a blatant symbol of their sinfulness and presents it to her mother. See the reward of dancing, the result of that devilish scheme? I'm not talking about John's head, but her lover. For upon closer examination, the downfall was indeed the king's. And the victor emerged from defeat, while the beheaded was adorned with a crown, he proved victorious even in death, further horrifying the culprits. Ask Herod himself if what I say is merely empty bravado. For when he heard about the miracles Jesus was performing, he claimed, "This is John. He has risen from the dead. That's why he has such power." This is how vivid the fear was, how lingering the dread. No one could discourage the terror in his conscience. But the incorruptible judge continued to make daily demands for justice for the murder. Therefore, let's remember this and not fear suffering evil, but doing evil, for this is victory, not defeat.